What's going on, everyone, and good morning. Today is Thursday, September 12th, and this is your daily Go Birds morning update, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today. And well, guys, today is the start of game week. I know the coordinators talked on Wednesday, but today is Thursday, which is effectively the Eagles Wednesday, which means the preparation for the Atlanta Falcons officially begins. Obviously, they do pre-work on the teams. I'm sure they've been working ever since they got back from Brazil on the Falcons. But today is the day that really kicks off the beginning of Falcons week, which means we're going to get a bunch of different things today. So at 12:10 today, Nick Sirianni will speak to the media, look for a lot of questions about N'Kobe Dean, Devin White, Bryce Huff. Obviously, Vic Fangio talked about them, and we will certainly get into that in a few minutes on the pod. But Nick Sirianni is the head coach. Curious to see what he has to say about it. So look out for tweets, videos, live stream, all that good stuff at 12:10 for Nick Sirianni. At 2:10, that's when the locker room opens. So we'll see if Devin White talks, what Bryce Huff has to say, all those good things. At 3:20, practice begins. That'll give us a look at who potentially suffered an injury in the game against the Packers. Is everybody practicing? Is anybody getting the day off? So that'll be 3:20. Look out for tweets about practice. And then at 5:00, not exactly nighttime yet, but you know, dinner, I guess you could say. Dinner for me. You know I love an early dinner time. Dinner with Jalen at 5 p.m. Not actually dinner, just his press conference. He will speak to reporters at 5:00. So 12:10 Nick Sirianni, 2:10 locker room, 3:20 practice begins, and 5:00 we hear from Jalen Hurts. So that is the schedule for Thursday as they kick off Falcons week. Next, injuries. No injuries. As we said, we'll find out today, see if there's anything they're working with. But there is a lot of news to get into today. So, defensive coordinator Vic Fangio spoke to reporters on Wednesday and was asked flat out, you know, what's Devin White's role when he comes back? Or is N'Kobe going to keep being the starter? And Vic Fangio, as he does, just said it flat out. N'Kobe Dean is this team's starting middle linebacker moving forward. He just said it. There was no masking it. There was no couching it with anything. It was N'Kobe is going to be the starter. So he had some more to say. He talked about why he gave N'Kobe the job, or I should say why N'Kobe earned the job. And then I asked him if he had spoken to Devin White. So here's some Vic Fangio audio on what he had to say about the decision.
He's still a good player. He tweaked his ankle last week. He's still part of it and will be part of it.
So what led to the decision, Vic, to have N'Kobe as the starter? What did you see?
I just think from the start of camp to the end, he won the job.
Yeah, so look, you heard me and James argue about this in the last pod. And if you haven't, go check it out. It's, you know, a few pods back in the feed. This just doesn't sit right with me that they're benching Devin White. Now, I completely understand the best player should play. Like, macro scale, best player, it's a business, it's not a football camp. Like, I get it, the best players play. And, you know, on a personal level, and I've brought this up, like, having spent a year doing the Players Lounge with N'Kobe, I am very happy for N'Kobe. Like, he earned this job. And I think that's an important distinction to say. He earned the job. Like, he did not go into camp with the job. Like, last year when he went into camp and basically had the job, didn't play great, got hurt, didn't have a good year, obviously. He earned the job. As camp went on, he was better and better and better. You heard that in the training camp daily pods. More and more times throughout camp, I would bring up N'Kobe and the job he had done. And then in week one against Green Bay, I thought he was very good. Now, what's interesting is Pro Football Focus had him ranked as the 72nd linebacker out of the 75 that qualified, that like played enough snaps. So obviously not great. They had him graded as the worst player on the Eagles defense. I disagree with that. But I thought N'Kobe played well against Green Bay. And obviously the Eagles agree to an extent if they're going to keep him the starter moving forward. So this isn't about N'Kobe. Like, N'Kobe, I think, earned the job, played well. I get it. What doesn't sit well with me about this is the Devin White aspect of it. I was at OTA practices. I saw Devin play really well. I saw him make plays. I saw him have big plays in coverage. I saw him come away with interceptions. I saw him in training camp. I saw him get to the quarterback and you know, get pressure on the quarterback when they sent him on blitzes. He did it against the Eagles, and he did it against the Patriots when they had a joint practice. Now, I don't get the benefit of knowing what the play call is. I don't get the benefit of sitting in those defensive coordinator meetings and, you know, knowing what Vic Fangio is looking for. So clearly they saw something with Devin White I didn't see. But what doesn't sit right with me about the Devin White thing is they gave this guy $3.5 million. And I know that's not like, you know, $34 million like with Bryce Huff, which we'll talk about in a second, but $3.5 million is not nothing. Like last year, you know, me and James talked a lot about Rashad Penny. Rashad Penny got $500,000 guaranteed. Around final cuts, we were talking about Matt Hennessy. Matt Hennessy got a little over $1 million. $3.5 million is a sizable chunk to give a free agent. It's not the end all be all. Like, I get it, but it's not nothing. Like, you give that to a player that you plan on using. Devin White decided to come to Philadelphia, and he decided to come to Philadelphia, presumably because he thought he would have the chance to play, and they told him that he would have a chance to play. Now, I know he got a chance in training camp to win the job, but Devin White has played such good football for so many years at such a high level in the NFL that it just seems wild to me to bench him over training camp. And you're listening to Mr. Training Camp. Like, I love training camp. I think training camp matters a ton, but it's just one piece of information. Like, to not give him a shot in a game, it doesn't feel like they're sticking with their original plan. Or, so like, either it's A, a lack of conviction, or B, there's miscommunication, or the front office and the coaching staff, i.e. Vic Fangio, are not on the same page. Because either they've abandoned their Devin White plan relatively quickly, not even one game into the season, or they signed him and Vic was never really going to play this guy. Like, it's one of the two. But either way, it's $3.5 million wasted. Now, he's a good depth piece. If N'Kobe gets hurt, they still have Devin White. Like, I understand that aspect of it. I still think Devin White could play well if given the chance. I think you could see Devin White in packages where he gets to blitz the quarterback. I think that's certainly a possibility on Monday night against Atlanta if he plays. But I thought that Devin White was going to get a chance to shine this year. And it doesn't feel like to me he was given that fair chance to really prove that he should lose the job. N'Kobe won the job. I get that. But it feels like when you sign a free agent and you bring somebody into the organization and you give him that type of money, he should be given a chance to play more. So that's where I fall on the Devin White thing. But N'Kobe will play on Monday. Like I said, I think N'Kobe played well. Obviously, Pro Football Focus disagrees, but we shall find out. So the other part of this is Bryce Huff. Bryce Huff, obviously played the fourth most snaps among the edge rushers. It was Josh Sweat, Brandon Graham, Nolan Smith, then Bryce Huff. Josh Sweat playing considerably more than the other three, and then the Brandon Graham, Nolan Smith, and Bryce Huff relatively around the same. They were all around, I think it was literally 32, 31, 30 on snaps. But Vic Fangio was asked about what Bryce Huff had to do to get more playing time, and here's what he had to say.
What's Bryce need to do to play more?
You know, just separate himself from the other guys.
Yeah, so again, like, I get separating yourself, but the way he separated himself in a way is getting $34 million guaranteed in free agency. Like, the Eagles paid this guy $34 million, and that is not to be a situational pass rusher. So, much similar to the Devin White situation, it just kind of surprises me that you have so much conviction about a guy when you sign him as a free agent. You feel so good about what he can bring to the team. You're excited to add him, you know, all those things. And now he's playing less than Brandon Graham, Nolan Smith, and Josh Sweat. Like, he's the fourth defensive end. If Brandon Graham played the fourth most snaps among the edge rushers, we'd call him the fourth defensive end. Like, actions speak louder than words. And the front office can talk about how excited they were about Bryce Huff. But clearly the defensive coaching staff, i.e. Vic Fangio, is not as excited about Bryce Huff. Otherwise, Bryce Huff would be out there. And for what it's worth, earlier in the week, Nick Sirianni said, oh, that's just kind of how the game expressed itself. Well, clearly not. Vic Fangio made it sound like a very purposeful decision to have Bryce only out there that amount of snaps. Clearly Josh Sweat was out there more snaps. So Josh has separated himself from the group. Bryce has not. Now, again, it's similar to the Devin White thing, and this is where me and James disagreed. Like, I do understand the concept of playing the best player. And if Brandon Graham's a better player, then play Brandon Graham. If Nolan Smith is right there with Bryce Huff, then I guess he's right there with Bryce Huff. But again, it feels like Bryce Huff is not giving a chance in a game to show that he is worth that $34 million. And to be honest, like, you wonder if this is why players in Miami didn't really love Vic Fangio. Because if I'm Bryce and I'm Devin White, I'm sitting here and going, I signed, The front office told me these things, and now I'm basically benched. Like, not even one game into the season. I didn't even really get a shot to prove that I was worth this money. Maybe Bryce Huff would be a disaster if they played him, you know, 60-65% of the snaps. Maybe he just can't play the run. Maybe he cannot get pressure on third down after playing first and second down. But we're never going to actually know until he's in a game and he's given it a chance to see it and to prove it. Now, shout out to Zach Berman of PHLY. I was talking to him today during the press conference or right before, and he brought up a stat that I thought was very interesting and very telling. If you look at first down snaps, so the first down, like the defense is out there. Now, first down could be a run or a pass, right? Of all the downs, it's a true, you're not really sure. It's first and 10, like it could be either or. Brandon Graham, I think played, I think it was 9 snaps compared to maybe 2 for Bryce Huff. So they're intentionally putting Brandon Graham in the game ahead of Bryce Huff. And clearly they don't think he can play the run. Now on third down, Bryce Huff played more snaps. Those are traditionally passing downs. So they definitely view Bryce as just a third down pass rusher right now, which is a valuable commodity. If he ends up with over 10 sacks and a ton of pressures, then yeah, he's worth that $34 million over 3 years. But that's not what he was supposed to be. He was supposed to be the Hassan Reddick replacement. And Hassan Reddick played all three downs. Hassan Reddick did not compete with playing time with Nolan Smith. And if it was a competition, he won it handily. So while I get the playing the best player thing, this whole Devin White and Bryce Huff thing, just to be honest, I have to keep it real with the real ones, auto-downloaders, just rubs me the wrong way. It feels like they're not being given a chance to truly show what they can do in a game. And it feels like, to me, we talk so much about, you know, the Howie having power and all those things. Just feels like the front office signed these guys and Vic didn't really want them. Unless they're depth pieces. But if they are, that's $40 million of depth pieces. Those are expensive players just to bring in to be potential backups. So the season is young. It's quite possible by week 3, week 4, these guys are playing more and this means nothing. But their original plan going into the season was clearly not to play these guys big snaps. And that's disappointing after what they gave them in free agency and, you know, just the excitement of these two free agencies. Didn't happen on the offensive side of the ball. Saquon's playing. Mekhi Becton's playing. Like, they had plans for those guys. Clearly, the defensive staff on this team did not have the same plan for the free agents that they signed as the front office did. So we will obviously talk about that more throughout the week. A quick other piece of news before we get into, you know, previewing this Falcons game a little more. Caden, there was some practice squad moves. Caden Stearns, the safety they brought in from the Broncos in training camp that was cut, he has been re-signed to the practice squad. So you would assume this means he's able to practice at this point. So this could be a shot for him to work his way up to the 53-man roster. He does have experience with Vic Fangio. And as we just discussed, if you're in Vic's good side, you're going to play. So Caden Stearns is a name to keep an eye on. He's now back on the practice squad. And to make room for him, they released Jack Stoll. Jack Stoll never really obviously played with the Eagles a few seasons, came back. There was thought maybe he could be on the 53-man roster or promoted for some of these games. Clearly that didn't work out. So Caden Stearns back with the team. Jack Stoll no longer on the team. All right, on the other side, we're going to continue to preview this Eagles-Falcons game, and we're going to look at the unit I love to talk about, the offensive line versus the defensive line. Okay, let's get into the Falcons offensive line versus the Eagles defensive line. And look, we just talked about Bryce Huff. Like, this is a matchup where if he gets the right one, he should be able to have some success. So first, let's just dive into who the Falcons starters are on the offensive line. So at left tackle, they start Jake Matthews. Very, very good tackle. 14th among tackles last year in pass protection. Had a pretty good game week 1 against the Steelers. At left guard, Matthew Bergeron. Very bad. 53rd among guards last year. And had a rough game against the Falcons last week. Center Drew Dahlman. Only okay. Just a guy, 25th among centers, also had a bad game against the Falcons last week. Chris Lindstrom, very, very good. Like, they have two good offensive linemen, Jake Matthews and Chris Lindstrom. Chris Lindstrom was 5th among guards last year. He also had a good game against the Steelers. And then right tackle, Caleb McGarry. This is a player the Eagles can take advantage of. 45th among tackles last year in pass protection and had a bad game against the Steelers. So the positions that they can really attack, the left guard center combo of Bergeron and Dahlman, you would think that maybe they try to double team Jalen Carter there, or you try to get Jalen Carter if you get him lined up there, then you have the other defensive tackle against Chris Lindstrom, who's a very good player. But the key spot here where they could really do some damage is Caleb McGarry. And this is where it comes down to the edge rushers to just win their matchups. Because again, Jake Matthews, probably going to win his matchup against whoever he goes against. He's a better tackle, I think, than any of the edge rushers the Eagles have. The Matthew Bergeron, Drew Dolman combo, if they decide to double in there, it's always hard to beat a double team. Not great players, so I'm not putting anything past Jalen Carter on winning that potential matchup, but they would potentially double. Chris Lindstrom, I think, is better than Jordan Davis or Milton Williams. It'd be interesting to see him rush against Chris Lindstrom, but that's a tough matchup. So it really comes down to the edge rusher against Caleb McGarry, whether it's Josh Sweat, whether they put Bryce Huff over there, whether it's Brandon Graham, whether it's Nolan Smith. Like, that's the spot they have to win. They win in the one-on-one Caleb McGarry on an island situation. They have to win that matchup and get to Kirk Cousins, because again, Kirk Cousins is even a bigger statue than he's been earlier in his career. Coming off that Achilles injury, you watch that game against the Steelers, he was not moving, like, at all. It was like Sam Bradford levels of just standing there. So if they can get to Cousins, and this is where, and you know, I talked to Seth Joyner about this recently, like, he's big into sacks matter and hurries don't matter. And it's an interesting discussion to be had. But I think against Cousins, when he really can't move, if you can just get close to him, because he's not going to be able to step up in the pocket or move to the side, you're going to impact so many of his throws. So whoever's lined up against Caleb McGarry has to win that and has to get to Cousins. Obviously, you'd love to see Bryce Huff have a great game against Jake Matthews. You'd love to see them get pressure on him. I just don't think it's a matchup that they can be projected to win. So one thing the Falcons do really well is they get rid of the ball quickly. Cousins had the fifth quickest release time in this past week in the NFL. He got rid of, I think, in like 1.5 seconds, 1.6 seconds. So he does get rid of the ball quickly, and that's going to be how they're going to try to neutralize the pass rush. They're going to try to snap the ball, boom, get it out. So tackling will be really big in this game. You can't let short passes turn into long yards and yards after the catch. But the other way you can impact them is to get in his face and to win these matchups. Caleb McGarry, Matthew Bergeron, Drew Dolman, these are not great players. If the Eagles' defensive line is going to be good enough to win a Super Bowl this year, these are the type of lines you dominate. We all saw what T.J. Wyatt did last week. T.J. Wyatt did last week against the Falcons. Like, he's a great player. He took advantage of the line. They got 12 pressures, Pittsburgh did, and a few sacks. I think they had 3 or 4 sacks. Pittsburgh went out and dominated this line. The Eagles should be able to do it. Like, again, $34 million to Bryce Huff. Top 10 pick in Jalen Carter. First round pick in Nolan Smith. Very well paid edge rusher in Josh Sweat. Like, top 15 pick in Jordan Davis. Go out and win the matchup, because their line is just not that great. So I give the Eagles defensive line the slight edge here. But if they don't win this one, it might be a few weeks until you see me give the Eagles defensive line the edge over another offensive line. Because right now, if Vic Fangio doesn't even think Bryce Huff's that good, I don't know why we should put a ton of faith into him. They're telling us with that snap count, he's not better than Nolan Smith, or at least he's the same. And we know Nolan Smith has not yet proven anything in the NFL. So this is a matchup the Eagles should win. And if they win it, they should win the game comfortably. But if it's halfway through the first quarter, Cousins is getting rid of it quick, the pressure's not getting to him, they're going 5-6 yards at the field, time down the field. Yeah, then the real conversation is going to start about this defensive line. So that is the Go Birds Daily for today. Tomorrow, we will get into the Eagles offensive line versus the Falcons defensive line. Another matchup I think the Eagles should be able to win. So thank you to everybody for listening. And I did want to say one thing before I wrap this up. I'm going to try to bring this up as much as I can. Once again, I'm working with Treehouse Books this year to hopefully raise enough money to give 1,000 new books to kids in the local Philly school district. I'm a product of the Philly Public Schools. I loved my time there. I would not change it for the world. But we all know the Philly Public Schools, for as much as they try, are underfunded. They don't have all the resources they need. And Treehouse Books is a local nonprofit located in North Philly that works to get more books into the homes of students. And if you can get more books into those homes, if kids can be on reading level by fourth grade, that's a key year for it, then their chance of success and, you know, doing well in school and staying on track really goes up. So what I've done for the past 2 years is, for every touchdown the Eagles score, I donate enough to get one new book. So $5 equals one new book. So throughout the year, I try to get to 1,000. The past 2 years, through generous donations, through, I'm sure some of you guys listening, we've been able to raise enough for just about 2,500 books. So ahead of schedule over 2 years. This year, through a very generous donation of an anonymous donor, every book is being matched up to $5,000, which means if we can get to $5,000, which is enough for 1,000 books, it gets doubled, and now we're at 2,000 books and $10,000. So it's a big year. Big year for the Eagles and a big year to hopefully do this. So I'll try to remember to bring it up as much as I can. It would mean the world to me if we could all work together and do this. And it would do a lot of good in Philly. And we all love Philly. So let's try to help the city out. So thank you guys so much for listening. And as you always say, he's Elliot, I'm James. I'll talk to you guys later.